Good morning. Lance Tarchione, technical agronomist with DeKalb Asgrow, here with you on WGIL Radio this morning with our 4th of July weekend episode of Ag Talk. So happy Independence Day. Hope all of you had a beautiful 4th of July. And special thanks to those out there who are keeping us safe and free and serving this great nation. So there's certainly lots of things, if I was in charge, I'd like to change here in America these days. I think we could make some definite improvements. Won't get into specifics about what those might be, but I would not trade our country for any place else on earth. This is still the greatest nation in the world, no matter how messed up we might be, or no matter which grumpy old man is in the White House. So anyway, had some rain on 4th of July, so all the local farmers are happy that your 4th of July plans might have gotten, you know, impacted by some rain. July is, if you're a corn farmer, July is a month you want to be wet. Last year we suffered through a record dry June and then ended up having an abnormally wet July, and that is really solely responsible for how good our corn crop was last year. So the markets especially spent a lot of time agonizing over, you know, planting progress and you know, weather all through the growing season and temperatures and, you know, levels of diseases and, you know, all the negative things that are going on to impact a crop, and watching all that diligently. The one thing that matters most of all in how good of a corn crop are we going to raise is the amount of rain we get in July. So if you look at every growing season that was really bad from a corn growing standpoint, you know, all of the significant drought years that you can remember, 83, 87, 88, 89, 2012, on down the list, probably some people older than me can remember some back before 83, but really the one thing that all those years had in common was a abnormally dry July. So plentiful rainfall in July will take us a long way towards getting where we want to be, and if you get to pollination in good shape, you can be reasonably safe in assuming that at least you're going to have a decent crop. Now, no guarantee it's going to be a bumper, but you know, if we get normal rainfall in July and August from where we're at here with normal temperatures, we will have a very good corn crop and potentially a very good soybean crop as well. If it's wetter than normal the next 2 months, that would probably result in an excellent corn crop. And if we would happen to be wetter and cooler than normal, we would maybe be, you know, in the running to have a record corn crop, at least here in this area. So prospects are good right now from a yield standpoint, which is really important, because as you know, if you farm, and maybe you know if you've just heard farmers talking, commodity prices, grain prices are very depressed compared to where they've been in recent years. Now, compared to where they've been historically, you know, prices are still relatively high. But just like the rest of our economy and most of the rest of the world, everything you have to buy is ridiculously expensive these days. And so for a farmer, what you're selling also needs to be ridiculously expensive just to kind of keep things in proportion. So, you know, prices are about a third lower than they were just a couple years ago. You know, some serious production issues could make prices rally. I would, in my opinion, which is worth what you're paying for it, they're not likely to rally a lot. And a bumper crop could cause significantly more price decline from where we're at today. So With this in mind, my son Cole called me this week, and it's nice that he calls Dad every now and then for advice. So you know, if you've got a son, you know, that's a teenager, you know, they're probably never going to ask you for advice, nor will they take the advice that you offer to them for free. But you know, Cole's past his teen years, and so every now and then he thinks Dad might know something that that could help him. Sadly, in this case, when it comes to grain marketing, he's barking up the wrong tree. He needs to, you know, I tell him all the time, just, you know, go with your gut. That's probably as good as anything you're going to do. And if you want to, you know, pay the same experts, to give you advice that I sometimes take, you can, you can do that. But, probably, you know, probably better off to look at what Dad does and then do the opposite would maybe more often bear fruit from your marketing program. So anyway, he was frustrated, as many producers are, that he hadn't sold more corn ahead. So you can, you know, we can be selling this year's crop right now. We could be selling next year's crop right now. You could sell 2 years from now's crop right now if you wanted to. You could have sold all of this year's crop 2 years ago for $7 a bushel, if you wanted to. So looking back in hindsight, you can always see what you should have done, and that's dangerous and depressing to do that. So, not a lot of good comes from that, other than maybe reminding yourself, okay, I should have done that a year ago. I'm going to try to remember this when the next time an opportunity rolls around to do something like that, I'm going to jump on it. But you can tell yourself that all you want, and it's still hard to do the next time that day rolls around. So Cole's question was, hey, you know, I can lock in $4 a bushel right now. I'm not going to lose money at that, so should I just sell it all? Just take away the risk of prices going lower. And I said, well, no reputable grain marketing advisor is ever going to tell anybody to sell it all at one time. So, you know, not sure I'd do that. But, you know, if you want to make sure that you're not losing money and you know you can be profitable at these prices, yeah, you know, sell a chunk of it. And, you know, and those are the type of decisions that the farmers have to make. You can sell ahead. You can store at harvest and wait for the price to come back up. Or you can sell it before you even produce it at what seems to be a higher price than you think it's going to be in the fall. There's all sorts of marketing tools and programs and puts and options and such that can, you know, help you manage your risk. Now, managing risk and making money are not necessarily the same thing, and a lot of things that you do to reduce your risk actually are going to cost you money, because the value in what you're doing is the risk protection. And having risk protection is somewhat like having insurance, and insurance ain't cheap, as you know. So it's really, really, really hard to know what to do. And I would say in general, farmers are very concerned about profitability in the coming years. Inflation has, you know, impacted the prices of everything we buy, and has really no impact on the value of anything that we sell. So, you know, basically, if you look at the balance sheet of any farmer, the major things you're going to have expenses in would be land cost, whether you're renting it or buying it, fertilizer, seed, equipment, and fuel, which would kind of go with the equipment, crop protection expenses, so crops need to be protected from weeds, insects, and diseases, and so those are most of the things that we spray on fields are doing that. Labor, interest, which is way up, so if you're borrowing a lot of money, that costs about two or three times what it did just a couple years ago, and insurance. And so, you know, those are all the levers you can pull to try to spend less money. But, you know, everybody you work with, you know, so the fertilizer guy is going to tell you to, you know, cut back on equipment. And the seed guy is going to tell you to cut back on equipment. and the crop protection guy is going to tell you to cut back on equipment. And the landowner that's been renting you land at what seems like an outrageously high rental rate per acre is going to tell you to, well, spend less money on fertilizer, seed, equipment, and crop protection. And then, you know, so everybody's pointing at somebody else in the economic equation there saying, well, if you would spend less money with that guy, you'd have more left over for me. And that's just not going to work for everybody to blame it on somebody else and expect somebody else to take less and the farmer get left holding the bag, as they say. Kind of apologize for the economics lesson here this morning, but when I come back from break, we're gonna dive even deeper. So if the Econ 101 lesson has turned you off, you might not want to come back after break, because we're going to go into a 200 level economics course here, and we're going to dive a little deeper into the weeds on how to make a economical decision on whether or not you spray fungicide on your corn, which is a topic of great debate in coffee shop tables with groups of farmers sitting around them right now. So that'll be up next. Hi, Lance Tarchione, technical agronomist with DeKalb Asgrove, back with you here on WGIL Radio this morning. And before the break, we'd been talking economics, and I mentioned we were going to dive a little deeper into the economics of making a decision on fungicides. So really, you know, any decision economically that gets made on a farm, you know, comes down to essentially, will this dollar I spend return me more than a dollar, either based on an increase in yield or an increase efficiency, or, you know, some way am I going to get more than I put into it? And farmers talk a lot about having a positive return on investment, and all that means is you got to get more back than you put in. And applying a fungicide is a pretty significant cost. Runs, you know, I'm going to use an average figure of $40 an acre. You can do it for less. You can spend way more. Depends on a lot of factors, but you know, and it's hard to know for sure that you need to do it some years. So in years like 2021. We have super heavy disease pressure, and everything you do to prevent disease pays big time. And you should have done more than you did, is most people's analysis when they look back at that year. So then 22 and 23 comes along. So we learned our lesson, right, in 21, that we didn't do enough with the fungicide. So in 22 and 23, a lot of growers were more aggressive applying fungicides, because they should have been in 21, and so they did in 22 and 23 what they should have done in 21. And then we had a lot lower disease pressure because the environment was different. And so, you know, I'm not saying they lost money by doing that in 22 and 23, but it didn't pay out near as good as it would have in 21. And so you get a lower ROI, and sometimes the ROI is negative. So, you know, you've got growers that believe in fungicide and just do it. I'm in that camp. Some do not believe in it and essentially never do it. And then you got a bunch that are somewhere in the middle and trying to make an educated guess. You know, they would say this is the way to be a good manager. You don't just blindly do something, and you don't just blindly not do it. You look at each year, and you look at the situation, and you look at the value of the crop, and you look at the disease pressure, and maybe you consider, you know, how good is my crop, and maybe you look at, you know, the specifics of each individual, you know, hybrid that you planted, and you try to, you know, make a educated guess each year as to how aggressive to be. And all sorts of variables play into the odds of getting a small, an average, or a large yield increase from spraying a fungicide. And, you know, if you go with that $40 an acre figure, you know, we look at things per acre, but you can also look at it per, you know, what's it cost across my operation. So if you got 1,000 acres of corn, which is, you know, fairly typical for growers in this area, and you spend $40 an acre on 1,000 acres, that's $40,000. And so, you know, if you think $40 an acre sounds like a lot, well, how's 40 grand sound to you? So, you know, that'd be, and if you get no yield increase from doing that, you could have kept that 40 grand in your pocket, and that would have went straight to the bottom line. Now, if you spend 40 grand and you get a 20 bushel yield increase, well, now you just got 80 grand worth of value for the 40 grand that you spent. You know, you can make a pretty good living doubling your money on every dollar that you spend. So, you know, that's certainly a positive way to look at it. And you need, you know, with corn at roughly $4 or less, you know, you're going to need at least a 10 bushel yield increase to have a positive ROI. So at 10 bushels, you're basically going to break even. At 15, you've got a nice, you know, $5 an acre or five bushel an acre at $4 a bushel, roughly, so about a $20 an acre profit, you know, and, you know, then you've got a nice positive ROI. So, you know, normally that's not hard to do to get, you know, I think a 15 or 20 bushel yield increase out of fungicides in corn, but there's no guarantee of that. You don't know that that's going to happen. The one thing you do know about diseases is if you wait until it looks like you really need to use fungicide, you've waited too long to get the maximum benefit from that because you've let the disease get ahead of you and you can't resurrect the plant at that point. So fungicides need to be used preventatively. And so, you know, it's hard to know, you know, when you should pull the trigger. It's hard to know, you know, how bad do I need to do it? And when you do it and you raise a good crop, there's really no way to know, you know, unless you leave a bunch of check strips, which people don't like to do because it's kind of a pain in the butt. You know, you really don't know at the end of the year what the actual yield benefit was of what you did. Because you've got nothing to compare it to. You can't compare it to this field that you didn't spray. You can't compare it to what that field yielded last year. Like I say, the only thing you could compare to is if you did a whole bunch of field trials and you know, split a field in half and did half of it, didn't do the other half, or if you leave some check strips that are big enough that you can actually find them in the fall and get some good comparisons that way. And I've had people tell me that, well, I'd rather not know if I lost money doing that. So I'm just not going to make those comparisons. So, you know, it's not easy spending your money. It's not easy knowing where to quit because once you make the decision, okay, I'm going to do it. Well, what product do you want to use? Do you want to use the best product money can buy, or do you want to be a tightwad and buy something cheap that's not as good, but it's cheaper? You know, do you want to use a high rate? Do you want to use a medium rate? Do you want to use a low rate? Do you want to put some extra foliar fertilizer products in with it? Do you want to put some plant growth regulator, you know, hormone type products in with it? Do you want to put some sugar in with it? There's all sorts of things you can add to it while you're there. And all sorts of people, you know, salesmen whispering in your ear that, oh, you need to add this, you need to add that. You know, you're already spending $40, what's 45? Or you're already spending 45, so what's 50? Or you're already spending 50, so what's 55? And, you know, you can, you know, there's no limit to up here. I mean, you can just keep adding stuff to the point where it's, oh, my God, this is, stop, I can't do that. And where that stopping point is, you know, varies by individual. And so it's not easy decision to make. You got to go with your gut. You got to go with it. You know, once you've made it, there's no turning back at that point. So, you know, whether it worked or not has no bearing on this year because it's already been done. Now, if you do some comparisons and you find that, okay, it paid great or it didn't pay, well, you know, maybe you take that into account next year when you're making that same decision. But, you know, just because it worked this time doesn't mean it's going to work next time. And conversely, if it didn't work this time, that's no proof that it won't work next time. So the adage that every year is different and every scenario is different is extremely true when you're looking at yield responses and crops from different management practices that we make. So the moral of the story, it ain't easy. We do it because we love it. And even if it's a struggle, and even if we're not making money doing it, we're still going to do it because we love it. So hopefully you've got something that you do because you love it in your life. And with that, we'll sign off for this week, and we'll talk to you again next week. So everybody take care. Stay safe.